Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Orient Hour. I am Darren Burrows, and tonight I'm joined by Orient comic, no less, our very own Steve Tongue, and of course, Christian Wheeler. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Darren.
Hi, evening all.
Chris, I'll start with you if I may. What a great game under the lights tonight, Chris. Tell us how you're feeling after that performance.
I feel quite positive, same as Saturday, really. I think that, without sounding too despondent, I think if we have a centre-forward, I'm quite positive for the season, really. I think both full-backs look very comfortable on the ball. I think the midfield looks decent. We're not going to give too many goals away. We look a threat from set pieces. As I say, tonight's probably not the game to judge it on, but that nagging thought is really still that we're not going to score enough goals to challenge. But outside of that, I think we're set up for a really positive season. I like the fact that we play with tempo. I like the fact that we're playing with a full press. I feel quite positive about it. I think we was a much better side in the second half as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. Orient comment, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, sort of echo much of what Christian said, really. I mean, I think the first sort of 10 minutes, I don't think we got a touch of the ball. And perhaps it was just a League Two team playing against a Championship side, sort of, and they were sort of holding the ball, playing it around their back four and the like. And it was maybe a little bit of a shock to the system, not used to playing against teams like that. But once we started putting them under pressure at the back and not letting them do what they wanted to do, I think arguably from about sort of half an hour onwards, we were probably the better side. And I thought second half, probably unlucky not to nick it in 90 minutes, really, and sort of missed a couple of very good chances. And a couple were sort of down the far end from where we sit, but certainly looked like Drinan had one in the second half. Happy had one in each half that probably, if it had fallen to somebody else, it would probably have gone in. But I thought overall, I'm sort of overriding feeling is I've sort of come back from the game delighted, really, about as pleased as you can be to get knocked out of a cup, and just think there was. It was sort of, as Christian said, the two fullbacks both looked very good, and I thought particularly in the second half when they started to get forward and they looked very comfortable defensively. But once they sort of got on the ball and sort of made things happen, we sort of got the ball wider a bit more in the second half, and it feels like they can be a threat at both sort of solid at the back and a threat going forward, which sort of fullbacks like that at our level are sort of quite hard to find, let alone to get two in the same side. So no, I think it's really positive, Darren. Really.
And Steve, do you share the enthusiasm so far on tonight's show, or are you going to put a down on it, Steve? I'm surely not you, Steve. You're upbeat.
No, I'm not. I would have had a down on it after 20 minutes. I was quite worried. I thought for three reasons, really. Firstly, I thought we're going to get a real trouncing here. Secondly, I thought on behalf of Orient fans who probably hadn't seen us pre-season, there must have been a few of those, and we're just looking at us knocking the ball around at the back four, not being able to get out at all, and thinking this is the same old Orient, nothing's changed. And actually, my third thought was this podcast could be quite short because we'll be saying, well, we played a team who were much better than us, two divisions above us, end of story. But of course, it did change towards halftime. We managed to get out. I mean, the reason that it seemed to me that we were just knocking the ball around at the back all the time and attempting at least to keep it there was that every time we played it into midfield or played it longer, the midfield weren't getting hold of the ball. They couldn't hold it up the front. And Rangers, who were pressing us very hard, were just winning the ball every time. So it really looked a very one-sided game to me for 20 minutes. But towards half-time, we started moving the ball forward at last and getting hold of it.
I think we've lost Steve again. Let's hope Steve can get back. Chris, you mentioned a lack of goals, and I've been agreeing with you on the shows recently about that. But, Drinan got a goal, mate, didn't he? So, he's a striker scoring on his debut there. And Chris, I'm hoping now's, give me a bit more about the goals, but I get your point. Come back at me on that one.
I think I'd rather put Omar Beckles up front than Drinan at the minute. I think that was... I just think he does too much work outside the penalty box. And I want him to do well. He works hard, gets across the line, looks handful. I just think, as I said, my thoughts haven't changed that he does too much of his best work outside the penalty box. All jokes aside, though, I do think Omar Beckles will get a decent amount of goals and assists from set pieces this year because he looks a real handful. As I say, in the two games he's played so far, he scored a goal and set one up, and I think he probably could have had another couple tonight. So that to me is a big plus.
No, I think Omar Beckles is going to become a fan's favourite, and you're going to have to do quite a few sketches to keep your popularity up.
You'll have to, I'm sure, really. Add to the old Beckles cakes one today. I mean, there is something about him, isn't there? But he looks very comfortable at the back, and I think he's already sort of hopefully turning Dan Happy sort of back into the player that we thought he might be a couple of years ago. I think sort of Dan Happy lost his way a bit, but you know, I think probably sort of playing alongside someone like Marv helped him out a bit. And since we lost Marv, probably he's never quite had that next to him. And having someone like Beckles alongside, I mean, Happy still had a couple of shaky moments, I thought, tonight. But he did sort of, in the second half, he looked a bit more like the player that we thought he might be once upon a time. And I think probably playing alongside someone like Beckles helps with that. And you look at him going forward, like Christian said, he just looks a threat. He seems to go up for, they seem to sort of hold on to the ball for any sort of long throws, don't they? And wait for Beckles to get up into the box. And whereas last year we were sort of getting Sam Ling or whoever was playing, sort of hoying a ball into the box, and it just never got anywhere. And already, it looks like every time we get a ball into the box at the moment, you're sort of winning the ball on the front post. Normally it's Beckles or Happy, and sort of they're sort of creating havoc every time they get these long throws, and same with the corners. So it does feel like Beckles is going to be a real favourite at both ends, really, sort of in the same sort of mould as Marv, with obviously just sort of slightly different style of player.
I agree with that. And I think, Chris, I think the set pieces under Kenny are going to be quite a weapon for us, and I think that's something that we're, as Orient Comics alluded to very eloquently there, we're seeing that already.
As you know, I'm proper old school, and I think set pieces, defending and attacking, are a massive part of non-league football, lower league football. And I think if we can carry along the same line as we are at the minute, I think that's a massive plus. As I say, I was quite vocal about it. I don't think Happ had a very good season last year. I think he had probably a 20-minute spell tonight, the goal included, where he had a wobble. But I'm hoping playing alongside Beckles will assist that. But we really don't look like we're going to give many goals away. And if you flip that to the other side, we look a proper threat every time we get a set piece, as I say. We scored tonight. Beckles has rattled the post, but it was recycled into the box. I think if we can add that to our game, then there's teams in lower league football that have won, championships and been very successful on set pieces alone. So I think, Beckles, Happ, the new signing, the right back putting in the deliveries, Kemp putting in decent balls. I think that could be a decent, string to our bow. And I think, as I say, it's very important in lower league football.
And Steve, if I may, I'll talk about that midfield, because I thought the first, I agree with everything everyone said so far. I think the first 30 minutes, I think we struggled a bit, if I'm honest. And I think after they went 1-0 up, I was thinking this could be a difficult night. And then I think it was you, Orient Comics, said that we got right into it after about half an hour. And I agree with that. I think it was a turning point. And then for the next hour, I thought we were a better side. And I thought that in the second half, Steve, I thought Kemp was immense. Am I right? Am I wrong? Who was your...
Yes, no, I think so. Mixed feelings about his performance on Saturday when we were watching together at Salford and thought that Hector was struggling a bit, and that probably didn't help. So we didn't really get control of the midfield for very long at all at Salford. But second half, I thought Kemp was excellent. Mishit one or two free kicks, but he had a good few set pieces to take. And Hector, I think, was better than Saturday. Still not entirely sure of what sort of midfield player he's going to be. But with Prattley as well, using his experience, I think having such an experienced player as Prattley there was particularly useful against a championship side. So, yes, the midfield became much more cohesive, second half in particular. And I think we were playing a bit longer, and that probably helped us too.
which was one of the reasons the second half performance became so impressive.
Yeah, I thought that. And Chris, I don't know, I'm interested in getting your thoughts on this. I thought that there are times when Hector stands off a little bit on his opponent, and I want to see him be a bit more committed, I suppose. Is that something that you would agree with, or do you think that he's just...
Yeah, I think with Hector, I think I said it last season, there's going to be times when Hector will play games and he'll look really, really good. And there's times when the game might pass him by and there'll be times when he needs to be taken out. But, you know, there's no... I've not made a secret of how much of a fan I have of Hector. I think he's going to be the real deal. I think they offer at the minute a real good balance between the three of them. Obviously, as well, made no secret that I think Pratt is class. I think that he will be the key to our success. And I just think he'll be a driving force for us. As I say, he knows when to play, he knows when to, you know, turn it around a corner, he knows when to get stuck in. He's cute in what he does. And I think Hector will only learn from that. And, you know, if you're a young midfielder making your way in the game, you're going to have dips in form, especially in, you know, Division 2 football, where some games will be pure blood and thunder and it will just be front to back. But to your point as well, I actually think we got a lot more joy tonight when we did go front to back quickly. And that is one of the benefits of playing 4-3-3, that at times, even if you're chucking it forward with no quality, there should be a player in that area when you're throwing it forward. So, you know, I think Hector will massively benefit playing alongside Prattley. I think he'll massively benefit playing under Kenny Jackett. And I think he'll massively benefit playing week in, week out. That's not to say that, as I say, he won't need to be pulled out at times and rested and learned and nurtured. But, you know, I think he's a great talent. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, he's probably not benefited, you know, knowing a position by being played centre half at times and right of a three at the back and then in midfield. But as I say, I think he's got all the tools to be a really good midfielder, whether that's, you know, a box to box midfielder or a four that sits in. But as I say, I'm a massive fan, and I just think, you know, for me, you have to be patient with him. And as I said last season, I'd rather be patient with someone like Hector and see little dips in forms and, you know, good and bad spells. And, you know, without speaking bad of someone that's not the club anymore, but I'd rather he be playing than someone like Usise that's obviously moved on. And I think him moving on has probably been, you know, a massive factor of Hector progressing.
And Kenny clearly agrees with you. The aptly named Theo, I think he deserved his starting place tonight. I thought he was great. What did you think of Theo tonight?
Yeah, I thought he played really well. I agree. I mean, he gets the ball and he's happy to sort of like, he sort of barrels his way through people, doesn't he? I don't know how much of it's sort of footwork, and as much he's got a funny shape to him, a funny body shape to him, but he certainly sort of makes things happen and sort of whips a few nice balls. And it does feel like with him, Kemp and Paul Smith sort of due to come back soon enough, the three of those, just sort of obviously it's early impressions with Archibald and Smith, but we know that Kemp is sort of, you know, he's a class player at that level, and with those three, it does feel like you're going to get plenty of sort of balls into the box and plenty for people to pick on. I think the question is who's going to be doing the picking in the box, you know, and that's what, you know, I think that is what we're not sure about now, isn't it? And sort of Christian touched on it at the top of the conversation. And, you know, I mean, Rusateru, I mean, I don't want to write Rusateru off because wherever he's gone, whether it be on loan at wherever he went, or Dover and the rest of it, and whenever he's got a sniff at Orient, he's always managed to score goals whenever he's been given a run of games. But you sort of watch him on a night like tonight, and he can be sort of, game can sort of pass him by a little bit. So I definitely don't think we're going to lack for quality in terms of in and around the box. It's just whether we've got enough sort of people getting on the end of these things at the end of the season that might make the difference.
Yeah, I think, Steve, I think that, I'm not wishing to put words in Roy Cummings' mouth, but I think Rule is still threatened to save a little bit. I thought we had a good game tonight. I thought that he did play well in an overall great team performance, if I'm honest. I've not often left the ground with a defeat under our belt and felt as good as I felt after I left that ground tonight. Funnily enough, it must be a West London thing, because I remember a certain Ricky Otto making his debut back in the day when I we lost 4-3 on an opening game of the season, and we left that ground and I thought we're going to be okay. You know, this guy's worth the money alone. And then what I did think, though, Steve, was on Saturday, for me, Paul Smith was 100% starter. And now I'm thinking that side played ever so well and deserves to start again on Saturday. Or do you think, Steve, that Smith comes, or Smythe, as we've aptly named him, comes straight back in? What's your thoughts on that, Steve?
I would have Paul Smith back in just for his energy levels, apart from anything else. And I've liked the way that, although he starts out wide on the right, he does link up much better with the centre striker for me than, say, Connor Wilkinson ever did. And to be honest, a bit than Rule did. On Rule, I just think we have to feel a little bit sorry for him, because when he's played wide, it's not his position. I mean, he's had a few games last season in particular when he was wide left, and it isn't his position. You know, he's a centre forward. His problem this season is clearly going to be that we've signed two very big centre forwards, partly for their aerial prowess, and it does give you that point to aim at. When we're playing from the back, and he's going to have to displace them if he wants to play in his best position. I thought he was a bit quiet first half, came into it second half, as you say, but I've been so impressed with Little Smith that I would certainly put him back in as soon as he's ready.
Yeah, I have to say, that's my feeling probably overall as well. Chris, unfortunately, Lawrence didn't save any penalties tonight. But again, yeah. Saturday, I don't want to go about Saturday's game too much, but he didn't have a lot to do tonight, fair to Lawrence. But again, you feel with him there in between the sticks that defence and a few balls he pinged, those long passes. Again, you know, I'm really starting to feel it that's been an immense signing.
Yeah, to be fair, quickly on Steve's point, I don't think you'll ever see the real Rule Satoru unless he's playing up top. And I think the only way that they'll do that is if they change the system from a 4-3-3 alongside one of the big men, Smith or Drinnen, up front, and he'll play off the shoulder off one of their knockdowns. But been quite impressed with the defence. I wasn't too sure how that would look. Beckles and Happ have paired up well. As I say, I think the two fullbacks look very good footballers, very good technically at the back, and that obviously gives, you know, Vigourou a platform to feel comfortable and you know try and keep it as tight as possible. I think, you know, I was vocal in the summer. I really didn't think that we'd keep him. You know, without doing us an injustice, I probably think he is too good for us. I did think he'd go to Division One or maybe a backup keeper in the champ with a chance to push on, but massive signing for us to keep and, you know, give us a solid platform. I just think it's a great coup for the club to keep him for another 2 years. He's probably been the best keeper that we've had since, you know, someone like Jakubovic or someone like that. You know, I think he's a big personality, obviously, in the change room as well, and hopefully he'll just grow into that leadership role, and you know the back four will take the, you know, reap the benefits from that.
I think so, and I think Orient Comic, I thought talks about a lot about players tonight. You spoke about set pieces, I spoke about set pieces, and the long throws and the balls whipped in, and how important that's going to be this season. I think as well the midfield, that's gelling. Are you with Chris? Is your main concern where are the goals going to come from, or are you a little bit more optimistic that the rest of the balance will see enough attacking prowess and we'll get the goals from wherever?
I think whenever you have a team like last season where we had, I mean, Johnson and Wilkinson between them, it was we're effectively giving away about 36 goals or something like that, in it losing those two. And I think, just aside from anything else, simply because of that, you have to worry about where the goals are going to come from. But then I suppose the flip of that is you've pretty much changed the whole, well, most of the personnel and the whole shape of the side and the whole, you know, the coaching structure, the management structure, the club, has it's been a sea change. So I guess until we see certainly, it's Harry Smith, isn't it? I can't do Northampton. It's Harry Smith, isn't it?
Harry Smith,
the guy
yeah.
we're waiting to see. Yeah, I mean, I guess until we see these guys, I don't want to sort of put too much of a downer on it, but if anything, you're sort of just fishing for negatives, because I think, I mean, as we just all said, Vigouroux's about as good a keeper as you're ever going to get in at this level of football. I think the one flaw with Vigouroux is he doesn't come for enough sort of across the box. He seems to want to sort of hang back on his line almost by default. And I guess every player at this level is going to have nobody's going to be perfect in League Two level, and for me that is his weakness. But he is an outstanding keeper. He's wonderful to have him back on board. The defence looks bang solid. Two fullbacks look great. The midfield, as we've talked about, looks really solid. So I guess it's just more fishing for the negatives. So I think the only thing that we're sort of awaiting to see is whether we've got enough up top, having lost our two most potent sort of goal options. You know.
Yeah, and as well, Chris. My only concern, yeah, I'm with you, I'm slightly concerned about the goals. I've said that for a while now. But my bigger probably concern than that is the actual strength and depth of the squad. I still feel, whilst I think Kenny's right, let's see where we are at the end of August, there's still going to be players available. You look at the bench, and for me, when you look at a bench, if there's players who can affect the game on the bench, that's always a great sign of a good squad. And I don't think we've
got that for us. No, you know, I think OC should summed it up really. I think, you know, you're looking for negatives in a really good start. But as I say, my problem being is, you know, is when you look at them centre forwards and you look at their records, you know, that's not that to me. As I say, I haven't changed my view in that they're not going to score the goals collectively to get us up. The squad thing is probably the only other negative that you could pick out at the moment. If you looked at that squad tonight. You know, obviously there's a few injuries and a few not involved, but at the minute, if you lost someone like Beckles and you lost someone like Prattley, then I think, you know, the positive vibe and thoughts around the place could very quickly turn. My only flip side to that would be in the state of football at the moment, Division 2, you know, the effects of COVID, budgetary, etc. There's probably going to be a number of teams that are in the same situation that can't this season go and throw money at it and, you know, have players that, you know, are not going to play or hold people just, you know, for this reason only. But, you know, it does worry me that if someone like Beckles or Prattley got injured, then we'd be in a bit of a mess. So I think that's something that we'll have to manage going forward. I'm hoping that, you know, the relationship that we've put in place with, you know, a few London clubs higher up the pyramid could come into play. But, you know, hopefully Little Smudge, whatever you want to call him, you know, won't be out too long. But if you look for his career, it's a recurring theme that he seems to pick up. Niggling small injuries that keep him out for a little while. Hopefully Thompson will be back soon. Big Smith will be back in the mix soon. So that's, you know, three more senior players in the mix. But, you know, when you look at that bench tonight, there's not really a massive amount that can come on and change the game. So that the sooner them three boys are back, the better. And then, as I say, that's something that the club and the management will have to manage going forward. Because, as I say, it's a long old grind, isn't it? League Two football. And, you know, I can't see... You know, you'd be very lucky to keep the same numbers and squad fit all the way through. And as I say, we've picked up some knocks early on, so we shall see. But as I say, I think there'll be plenty of clubs in our situation this year that will run probably two or three players lighter. And then if they have to, then they'll go into the loan market and then that becomes a little bit of a, you know, a lucky dip, shall we say.
And Steve, where do you think are the areas then that Orient will need to strengthen, if at all? Or what do you think that we probably perhaps lack on the bench or need in the squad?
Well, I was going to say, just as Christian did, that you looked at the bench tonight and it was thin, because we know the two Smiths weren't available. But you look there at half time, I was thinking, who could we bring on who might change it? And really, you're only, I think, looking at Craig Clay, who might have come in. Could he have come in and brought us a bit more drive in midfield? As it was, we managed without him. And in the end, we didn't make a single substitution, did we? We were very unusual. But you could see why, in a sense. So the one I'm really interested in seeing is Harry Smith. As the OC said, we really need to know if he's going to get the goals or if he's just going to be an impact sub. You hope that Aaron Drinan's goal and the very confident way he knocked in his penalty will give him that little confidence boost, because like any striker, he must have been worried 5 or 6 games without a goal. So you would hope for that. But that appears to be the way that Kenny Jackett wants to play with the one big man. You know, that was really evident in the strikers he signed. So it's difficult to say at the moment. Obviously, you wouldn't want to lose Prattley. Presumably, at that point, we would probably put Hector into the holding midfield role and bring Clay Cray in. But, of course, you'd want Prattley there for his experience. The centre-halves, I think we've got the cover with Thompson in. Shadow, he had a very decent pre-season friendly or two if we needed a fullback. I don't know. I think people have mentioned Connor Wood tonight. I dropped out briefly for a while, so I don't know if I'm repeating what people have said, but I thought Connor Wood had by far his best game for us this time. He was excellent. So, difficult to say. We've got sort of about one player cover in each position. And where are we now? 11th, 12th of August. We've got 20-odd days in which to, I suspect before the end of the month, we will actually, because we've started pretty positively, I think there will be that impetus maybe for the board to say, all right, here's a bit more money. And I would expect to get at least one more player in. And it will just depend on how these next few games and this couple of weeks pan out before we decide where we really need it. Is it that one extra midfielder? Or are we just going to have to find a goal scorer from somewhere, which I think would be the hardest thing to do, not because everybody wants goal scorers and they are hard to come by, because presumably there aren't going to be many good ones left by the end of August. That's going to be the problem in that area. But no, overall, I would agree, positive start. And I think probably one more player to come in, and we're just waiting to see where that will be.
I want to talk a little bit in a minute about the crowd tonight. I unusually watch the game from the south stand, not my normal vantage point. I'm normally a west sider, but my mate mucked up my ticket and got me one in the south. So I was happy to watch it in the south, and then I'll come on to my reasons in a minute. But I just want to quickly read you a text I've had from my son, Jack. I spent the whole time with Orange New Investors. We will be fine. Brilliant people. So he's been in the coaching offices after the game, celebrating our start of the season and not getting beaten in normal time by a championship side. So I think that's great. I think, look, you know, we've got these new investors. I think Steve's bang on. I think the board will look at it. I think they'll need to, if I'm honest. I think we've all echoed that. But moving on, or OC, let me tell me about what you thought the atmosphere was like tonight. Because I have to say, there was probably a good 1,200-1,500 of them in the East Stand. And we really gave them a good sing-song, didn't we? We really gave a good atmosphere, a good account of ourselves in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great atmosphere. I guess as much as anything, the QPR brought a great following, didn't they? And even on the, I was sat eating my kebab in the park before having my boy, and they were sort of sit walking by, all singing and all that. And it was brilliant, you know. It was, I think, probably as part of it, people have just missed football so much, haven't they, you know? And I mean, yes. I was a bit disappointed. I mean, we watch it, we sit in the North Stand, and I was a bit disappointed. We only got in there 5 minutes before kick-off. I must admit, I expected there to be a lot more Orient fans there tonight. I don't know, our stand was sort of half empty, but certainly the people who were there made a decent fist of it. And it was just a brilliant, I just thought it was a fantastic night of football, you know, partly because it's been so long since we've, I mean, I wasn't at Salford on Saturday, so it's the first competitive game I've seen since Newport last year. And it was just wonderful, wasn't it? And I think probably for a lot of people it was the same, and QPR brought great following, and it was just great to be back, wasn't it? And it was, I guess, also the way the game panned out, where sort of early on it looked like QPR were going to go and sort of win the game quite comfortably, and then sort of towards the end, they were sort of clinging on a little bit. I mean, maybe that's a little bit rose-tinted spectacles, but I thought they were sort of hanging on for dear life sort of the last sort of 15 minutes, you know. And that sort of helped with the ebb and flow, the sort of ebb and flow of the the football sort of was matched with the crowd, wasn't it? Like QPR was singing their hearts out early, and then sort of second half, all in, just fantastic atmosphere, wasn't it?
I thought so. Chris, you were watching it from a holiday overseas, and you were watching it. Could you hear us on the box, Chris?
Yeah, I was watching it on the smallest TV in mankind, so I had to bribe a Spanish bar owner to put it on, basically. Everyone in the whole port was watching Chelsea in the Super Cup, so I managed to find probably the smallest, worst bar going and bribe the bar owner to put it on. But, you know, I just think there's a lot of positives at the moment, and I'm hoping that, you know, the new investors will continue to, you know, enjoy their, you know, new involvement in a football club, and, you know, lower league management and lower league, should we say, ownership is pretty hard, and, you know, there's sometimes a bit of a endless money pit, but I just think we're actually not far away this season, and I just think a couple of new additions will really help us, because as I say, it's going to be a long old slog, and I think there'll be plenty of, you know, there's already talk about Swindon could be off, Exeter could be off on Saturday, and I think there'll be plenty of examples of this again this season, where, you know, you're going to play condensed fixtures and then you might not play for a couple of weeks, so I think it will be another testing season where, you know, you're going to need the odd addition every now and then to give you that boost.
Steve, without giving too much away, we are hearing positive vibes about the game on Saturday. Can you, you know, perhaps, I appreciate you can't perhaps allude on that too much, but yeah, nevertheless, we have heard some positives, Steve, haven't we?
Yes, I think so. I did get a word with one official from the club tonight, and I understand that we are optimistic the game will go ahead. You have to say, as it stands at the moment, I mean, going into Thursday morning, there's still a couple more days for, you know, Exeter could come up with a lot more negative tests, or with a lot more positive tests, and get the game off, which would be a real blow, of course, with the Harrogate. I mean, it wasn't a terrible disappointment to lose the Harrogate game, because it gives us that clear week, which might be useful next week. But it would be a terrific blow, obviously, to lose two of the first three games, especially home games. So we have to be optimistic about that. And I'm afraid, as Christian said, that there is going to be a lot more of this. It's interesting that it's mainly appears to be League Two clubs at the moment. I would have thought the Premier League, they're sort of the things they can afford to do and the precautions they can afford to take. Are so good that they shouldn't really be having any problems, unless players are being stupid and going out to parties and stuff, which has happened in the past. So it may well be that we are going to get more of this at League Two level. And then, you know, it may come to the point where the EFL have to take a bit of a stand on it and say that, you know, either you're going to fulfil your fixtures or not. I believe what they've said about Harrogate, for instance, in the Carabao Cup, is that if they can't get the game played before the next round is due, then they will have to forfeit like we did last year. I mean, what was unfortunate, obviously, for us last year was that it was Tottenham who had all the fixture congestion rather than us. But that's the sort of thing they're thinking. It will be interesting if there is much more of it to know if the EFL are actually going to take a stand on it a bit.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking, me and OC were talking about this briefly before we started show, and we're both of the opinion that people with COVID are isolated, they've got to be treated as injuries now. Football's part of society, and society needs, it's just my humble opinion, that to get back to get back to normal. We need to get back to living our lives the way we did. And that's my view, that we've got to treat these as injuries, and they've got enough players to fulfil a fixture. They've got to fulfil the fixture. Maybe I'm being harsh, maybe I'm being one-eyed, but I do believe that that's what we've got to do, guys. I want to leave it with you, Steve, to wrap this up, because I want to just say, you know, I thought the fans tonight were fantastic. I thought that the game was a great game, great advert for us. I thought we'd done very well overall against higher opposition. Your final thoughts, gents, before we wrap this up, Steve, your thoughts on tonight, your final thoughts?
Well, just as you say, a very good night, a very positive night for the club, which has been shown all around the world. There's a very impressive list on the website earlier of all the countries and all the foreign stations showing it. There'll have been some money coming in from Sky and some money from all those QPR fans. I mean, credit to them. I think there must have been a couple of thousand of them overall because they'd sold 1,500 tickets a lot earlier. They were very cocky early on, but we've given them a real good game for a team two divisions above us. And really only positive things that we can take out of it. Just hoping that we now get that game on Saturday, that the players have had enough time to recover because it was virtually our full strength side. And that we can keep the positivity going. Terrific also for those Orient fans who've come along for the first time in almost 18 months, maybe two seasons for some of them, and will have gone away with very positive feelings as well. So well done, everybody.
Great stuff. And just quickly then, OC, your feelings on tonight and your enjoyment of it.
Yeah, I mean, echo all of what Steve said, really. I thought it was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it tonight, and it was wonderful to be back in the ground. Great atmosphere, brilliant game of football. And I think, like you said earlier, Darren, it was about as happy as I've ever been leaving the ground having got beat, really. And, you know, I mean, no doubt we'll now get beat 3-0 at home to Exeter on Saturday, and that'll be the end of the optimism. But for now, I'm absolutely glowing with optimism. Can't wait for the next game.
Said like a typical Orient fan. So you just then. Chris, are you back for Saturday's game?
No, I'm not. I'll be staying in Spain for the foreseeable. But I just think now it's just about building momentum. So I think, you know, you've all said you're probably the most happy that you've been leaving the ground, having lost. Obviously, I wanted to win tonight. I was annoyed losing Pens, but you know, in the light of reality. It's not the worst thing in the world to put a good performance in and go out the Carabao Cup. It can sometimes be a distraction. And for me now, it's just about building on that momentum and punching out, you know, the results Tuesday, Saturday for the foreseeable, you know, get a fixed team down that, you know, works, the system that works and hopefully... you know, the grounding that we've built the last couple of days and games, and the confidence we should have taken for that. I think we done very well on Saturday for most periods of the game. Hopefully we can kick on and start churning them results out and start putting some, you know, some points on the board, because that'll you know, winning is exactly the same as losing. It's a habit. And if we can start churning them results out and get a good start to the campaign, then, you know, that will give us a good base for the rest of the season. And it'll also give us a good base to, you know, if you want to pick up one or two loans, you know, it's always easier to pick players up when you're doing well than when you're down the bottom of League Two. So hopefully that starts on Saturday.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for your time tonight. Roll on Saturday is my view. I thought the crowd were immense tonight. I thought the players were, dare I say it, I thought excellent tonight. 1-11. As you said, no subs, so 1-11. I can't wait to Saturday, guys. You know, look, up the mighty O's.
Up the O's. Cheers, Darren.
Cheers, Darren.